So like every other portion of Scripture, the book of Proverbs is best understood and most fully understood when it is read in the light of who Jesus is, the person and work of Jesus. As we think about Jesus and what the New Testament records for us, we see very early on, Luke chapter 2 even, it says that how Jesus amazed his listeners with wisdom. Luke 2 verse 40 says, "The boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him." That very same chapter, a few verses later, in verse 47 says, "And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers." Jesus was the embodiment, the fullness of wisdom. And he even claimed to be so, the new Solomon, as it says. Listen to what Luke 11 verse 31 says, "The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and look, something greater than Solomon is here." Later on in the New Testament, Paul would write of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and would say in verse 24, "Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." A few verses down, Paul would say, "It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Colossians 2 verse 3 says, "In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so last week what we did is we began a new series through the book of Proverbs, really asking the Lord to show us wisdom from this Old Testament book. And we began by looking at chapter 1 and specifically the idea of the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. And that's the foundation for the whole book, that we would fear the Lord rightly. This means that in order for us to have wisdom, being in right relationship with Jesus is an absolute prerequisite. Now, fear of the Lord is not cringing terror, but an attitude of awe and wonder before God's faithful covenant love. The New Testament tells us that the kind of relationship that is necessary in order for the wisdom of Proverbs to be best applied, fully applied in our lives, is one where the person has come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is, repenting of sin by faith and through grace, trusting in the finished work of Jesus. And so we press on today asking the Lord to speak to us from his word, because that is how God speaks, is through the pages of Scripture. And we're asking for wisdom, specifically for moms. And there are two things at the very beginning of this message that I want us just to establish before we jump in. The first is this, that this is a passage about the gospel. It is a passage about the gospel. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31. You can begin to turn there. This is often preached. It's a passage that's actually associated with Mother's Day quite often. We are looking at it as part of our wisdom series, but the thing that you need to know is that it is far too often where people will hear this passage, and the result in their hearts, particularly for moms, the result isn't gospel rest. Instead, it's worldly anxiety. And I want you to know that as we read this, as we study this, as we hear God's word, what we are not doing is placing a pedestal before you and asking you to climb to the top of it. Moms, I need you to hear that. No one can live up to what we're about to read in their own strength. This is a passage that ought to point our eyes back to Jesus. I mean, the truth is, if you're a mom in the room, you may be thrilled just to have successfully gotten everybody in the car this morning. I get it. And you may not feel like you're crushing it. You may feel like you are treading water most days. Hear this. This is a passage about what God can do in your life, what God can do through your life. This is not a passage that says you need to try harder and get to work. This is a passage that ought to point us back to Jesus so that we might cling to him. And secondly, this is a passage for everyone. Yes, it's Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day, but even more so, fundamentally, this is a biblical passage with truth and application that reaches all of us. This passage will teach us about our Savior. This passage will teach us about ourselves. And so, as we open up God's Word, who is it that ought to be studying Proverbs 31? Who is it that ought to be pursuing the characteristics that we're going to pull out, that we're going to see from the text? Mothers, those who are single, those who are married, those who are divorced, those who are widowed? The answer is everyone, right? All believers. This passage is not limited to a single group, but instead is intended to encourage and to exhort all of us who follow Jesus. So let's lean in this morning and ask the Lord to speak to us from His Word. We'll start in verse 10 of chapter 31. God's Word says, "Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life." We're going to walk through this passage today. I hope that you will leave your Bible open as we'll be exploring several scriptures. But I need you to know that there was once a teacher who asked her class, "Can anyone give me the name of something that starts with the letter M and its purpose is to pick up things?" Now, the teacher was hoping that they would say magnet, but in unison, the class shouted, "Mother!" Well, that's not what we're looking at. We're hoping to go a bit deeper today. This morning, we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about moms, and there's a pattern that we will see. There's a pattern, honestly, for any of us and for all of us who desire to walk this path of wisdom. So if you're seeking to be wise today, hear what the Word of the Lord says. And especially if you are a mom, the first thing I want you to see here is that what's required is a character that can be trusted. A character that can be trusted. Verse 10 says that a wife, which, remember, this is not any one person in particular, this is a pattern, but it says a wife of noble character is hard to find. In fact, it says that she's more precious than jewels. The word used here is sometimes translated as rubies, sometimes as pearls, but really it's a generic word for precious stones of any kind. And the point is this: that a very valuable woman is not easy to find. Now look at verse 11. This is foundational. It says that she can be trusted. We want to be wise this morning, which means we've got to value being the kind of person who can be trusted. Is that the value that is central in your home? Is that the value that's central to who you are? Are you the kind of person whose actions flow out of a depth of character? In your home, are you seeing the value of being trusted and trustworthy as if it is a pearl, a ruby, a jewel? Remember, it is those who trust God who can be trusted. Now let's press on. Look at verse 13. It says, "She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle." And so in addition to having a character that can be trusted, this is anyone who desires to walk the way of wisdom. What we also must have is a willingness to work hard. A willingness to work hard. In these verses, what we read is we read of devotion. We read of diligence. You see her devotion in the way that she gathers what is needed. She rises early. She evaluates. She uses her strength. She makes a profit, and she even works late into the night. Verse 13 tells us that she's taking care of her family's clothing. Verse 14 says that she's taking care of the family's food. And it says that she sails out like a merchant ship, coming back and forth, bringing what is needed for her family. Verse 15 tells us that she takes care of the schedule, and she even rises before sunrise, if necessary, to provide for her whole household. There certainly is a willingness to work hard. That is the way of wisdom that God sets before us. Now, when it comes to rising early, before sunrise, there's just some people that can do this better than others. Amen? I don't know if we're born that way or if we have to develop it. I know that in my household, we have laughed at the differences between me and my wife when it comes to sleep. Let me say this. She's an incredible wife and an incredible mother, and she can absolutely function better than I can on less sleep. Like she, it's just a proven fact. And so she's quick to tell me. She's right here, so I'm just going to look out here. But she's quick to tell me that just because she can function better with less sleep doesn't mean that she wouldn't prefer to have more sleep. But that's just how it goes when you're a mom. And I'm a little ashamed to say that it's true, that she does better. I know that when we first got married, she was working on as a nurse on an ICU floor, working night shift. And so I watched as she transitioned back and forth and did the sleep thing and all that, and it just an incredible amount of discipline was required. And I remember thinking, I would not do well with that. And then we had children, and I discovered for sure I would not do well without sleep. And so we have three daughters, which means we have had many sleepless nights in terms of the baby stage, trying to figure that out like many of you. And my wife is quick to tell this story, and I feel like I need to share it because I'd like to get out in front of it, not because I'm proud of it. But she will tell it, and so you need to hear. There was one night with our daughter Hannah, she's our firstborn. It was one of those sleepless nights, and the story goes that in the middle of the night, Hannah started crying. And so my wife gave me one of those nudges and said, "Will you go take care of Hannah?" And key word here, everybody write down the word allegedly. But allegedly, I rolled over, gave her a thumbs up, and said, "You got this," and rolled back over and went to sleep. I have no memory of it. I, to this day, don't think that's exactly how it went down. But even if it did, it was encouraging, right? And we're trying to pick that up. But when it comes to rising early, in order to do that, you have to have discipline, and you have to practice diligence. And that's the way of wisdom. That's what God is saying here, is a picture. This is not a picture of laziness, not even for a minute. And for all of us who want to embrace God's wisdom, we must embrace discipline, devotion, and diligence all the same. Now, in this passage, we see her life of devotion is the byproduct of a great love for those for whom God has entrusted to her. And so she was willing to work hard. And yet, as busy as she is, and as much work is being produced as those verses that we just read, look at verse 20. The very next verse also says that her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. So in addition to all of these things, what we also must have is a compassionate heart for others. A compassionate heart for others. The text literally translated here is that she opens her palms to the poor. These same hands that work so hard, that are so busy, that do so much for her own family are also willing to pour out. She demonstrates that yes, there is devotion for her home, but there's also a devotion for those not fortunate enough to be a part of her home. And as Christ followers, we know that compassion is a core value for us as we seek to follow the one who is compassionate towards us first. Now look at verses 21 and 22. It says, "She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." And so if we're going to walk this way of wisdom, the next thing that we see here is that we need a plan to care for needs. A plan to care for needs. I mean, we know that life has ups and it has downs, that there are good times, there are bad times. But the godly, and in this story, the godly woman, is well aware that there are ups and downs, and she is prepared to face both. The way of wisdom is that when difficult days come, the person would move into action. In verse 21, we see that she does not fear for her household. She does not fear because she has planned accordingly, and she is able to take care of her home. Verse 22 reminds us that she also has plans to care for herself, making sure that no one is left out. Now look at the next little section starting in verse 23. It says, her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. You see, the way of wisdom is a way where there is a commitment to live in wisdom. And that is a commitment to live in wisdom in all of life, every part of life. Do you know the reason, or at least one of the reasons, undoubtedly, why her husband is known in the city gates? It's because she has committed herself to living in wisdom. And anytime you make a decision, a commitment to follow the Lord and to be committed to Him, it has a profound effect on those around you. Guys, we have no idea the kind of impact that can happen from one commitment to follow the Lord. When you choose to do that today, when you choose to be faithful to God, when you choose to pursue Him, to be obedient in every area of your life, I'm telling you, it will have an effect on those closest to you. Think about it like this. In this way, as you draw near to the Lord, you're also being used to draw others to Him as well. And I can think of nothing greater than that right there. Now, verse 25 talks about strength, and it says that she can laugh at the time to come. She laughs because she has no fear. Everybody knows that the future is uncertain, that we're not promised tomorrow, that we don't know what's around the corner. But she laughs because she understands who God is and what His promises are. We spent a great deal of time last week talking about the difference between being afraid of the Lord and fearing the Lord rightly. And one of the things that came out of that was this reality that for many, they are afraid of the future because there is so much guilt present right here, right now. And listen, when you understand who God is, you understand that He has the power and the provision to take those things and make them new. Now, we absolutely need to hear, you need to know that if you're burdened by the weight of sin, and you're aware of your own unfaithfulness, and you have not turned to Jesus, you have not committed your life to Him, then you absolutely have every right to be afraid, because we have rebelled against a holy God, and the Bible is clear that He is a God of justice. But this woman, this picture that we have here, is someone with virtue of life who laughs when considering the future. Why? Because she is secure. Because she understands the promises of God. Why does she have no fear? Because she's in right relationship with our Lord. And I pray that that would be the same for you as well. Because if you are right with God, then you don't have to fear what's coming around the corner. Now, verse 28 and 29, look at that. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. You know, as we think about walking this way of wisdom and being a person who is wise, what we see here is the byproduct is a legacy with people. A legacy with people. The best legacy a person can leave is something that always outlives them. You have the chance to hand down a legacy of faith to those around you and to the next generation by the way that you live. What's most important is not wealth and fame or material or whatever. In your life, in your career, in your family, what we must prize above everything else is a legacy of faith, a legacy of trust, where we demonstrate the difference that God can make in a person's life. Now, the godly lady described here will no doubt win the love and affection of her family because faith is prioritized. A legacy is something to be treasured. I once heard a story of a young woman who, after her grandmother had passed away, was given her old, worn-out Bible. You can see it, can't you? It was tattered, the pages frayed and falling apart, filled with notes, prayers, and tear stains. And at first, she didn't think much of this old book, but as she flipped through it, she realized what she had been given was a treasure chest, a record of her grandmother's walk with God, with verses underlined and names written in the margin, and prayers spelled out for children and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren not even yet born. For her, that book was a treasure, a legacy. It told the story of a woman who, like the Proverbs 31 lady, feared the Lord and laughed at the days to come. It was a faith that wasn't loud or flashy, but deep and steady. And it was a faith that was passed on. Isn't that what we want? A legacy that outlives us, a legacy of eternal significance. The text says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Why? Because of the legacy she left. Guys, you have a chance not to live a legacy of fame or wealth or anything like that, but to leave a legacy of faith. It's never too early to start thinking about your legacy. And it's also never too late to do something about it. We've got to pursue the Lord in such a way that we demonstrate to those around us. Now, Jeff Orge, who's the former president of Gateway Seminary, he's currently the president of the SBC Executive Committee, in speaking about legacy, said this: your legacy is the wisdom you have gained, the people you have influenced, and the convictions you modeled, which inspire subsequent generations. Leaving a legacy is more important than leaving a monument. May we walk this way of wisdom. Look at the next two verses, 30 and 31. God's word says that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. The most important thing for each and every one of us as we seek to follow this way of wisdom is that we would have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of it all. Charm and beauty, those aren't bad things, but they are just simply not what makes a person, a woman, great. Physical appearance is fleeting. It does not endure. To trust in and to focus on temporary things is foolish and self-deceiving. The virtuous woman knows what matters, and she knows that which lasts, and so she knows that which is eternal. Listen, the only way to be a positive mom, a Proverbs lady, a wise person, is to be a saved person, a saved mom, a born-again woman of God. These are the things that she values. As one who belongs to Jesus, she seeks the things that are above. The woman of Proverbs 31 is not just any woman. She's a godly woman. She's a Bible woman. She's a Jesus woman. The applause and the praise of the world mean nothing. The applause and the praise of the Lord Jesus means everything. Therefore, any who seek to walk this way of wisdom need to practice what we see in Colossians 3. The wise woman, you see, her life is hidden with Christ in God. Having entered into a relationship with wisdom himself, Jesus Christ, she fears the Lord. And Proverbs chapter 1 told us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so I pray that you know the Lord today. Not just know about him, but truly know him in a deep, in a personal way. Now look right here. If you hear this passage today, and if at all it produces anxiety within you, then you've heard it wrong. That's not the point. That's not the goal. This is meant to capture up our hearts and our gaze and fix them squarely on Jesus. because you can't do this. You can't in your own strength live this out. You need the Lord. And the good news is he is very aware of it. And he has already made provision for it. He sent his son. He sent Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. And scripture says that yet while we were still sinners, he came and he died for us, demonstrating his great love. Jesus Christ, Son of God, left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death. And know this, the death he died was in my place. It was in your place. It was in the place of sinners. And yet through his death and through his victorious resurrection, what we have is a risen Savior who can redeem. And he's inviting anyone here to come, repent of sin, and by faith, trust in him. You can come today and be found and be welcomed. The very best thing you can do as a mom is to know the Lord, is to seek the Lord, is to love Jesus more than you love your husband, more than you love your family, more than you love your children. And that's true for all of us, to see Jesus for who he is, the one and only Savior. And so if you've never responded with faith today to the invitation of Jesus to come and to be his child, then I would invite you to come, to respond with faith, to repent of sin, and to make him your Savior and your Lord. If that is something that the Lord is stirring in your heart, we want to talk about it. We want to help you take your next step of faith. I'll be here in the front as we sing in just a moment, ready to pray with anybody who would like that. We have others in the room that would like to pray with you. We also have our hospitality room around the corner where you can go and have a conversation. Because there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than seeing Jesus and responding to him and letting him have his way in your life and in your family. So let's pray together. I want to pray for you, and I would encourage you. I know that this morning, as we think about Mother's Day, has the potential to be a day filled with all sorts of emotions. And so if you're here and this is a heavy day for any reason, I would encourage you to take that to the Lord and let him minister to you. Maybe this is the first Mother's Day without mom. Take that to the Lord. He understands grief and he understands how to meet you in that place and be with you. Maybe you're here today and your relationship with your mom is not or was never that which you had hoped it would be. Take it to the Lord. Let him minister to your heart. Be honest to him. Maybe you're here and you're not fulfilling the role of mom as if you would want to. Take it to the Lord and let him minister to you. The good news of the gospel is that God has done for us through Jesus what we could have never done for ourselves. And he meets us. And he is able to redeem and to restore and to provide hope where there seems like there's none. And so I would encourage you just to spend a moment with him, seeking his face, asking the Spirit of God to use what we have heard from his word to speak to our hearts. Lord, we love you, and we are thankful for the good news of the gospel, the chance to be rescued from our sin and from death. Lord, none of us take credit for that. It is only by your good and gracious love that you have poured out everything that we need. Lord, we thank you for Mother's Day. I pray for those in the room who are navigating that. If it's a joyous time or a grievous time or somewhere in between, Lord, I just pray that you would minister, that you would heal, that you would redeem, that you would bring comfort into the lives of people. And Father, we will stand and give you all the praise for it. Not claiming to be perfect, not claiming to have that all figured out, but claiming to be fully dependent on who you are. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are enough and that you have provided. We pray this together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.